Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Life Rewired podcast. And thank you guys for joining us on this Sunday, August 13th. Today's episode is going to be all about our top health habits that we've built over the years that have really helped us just push that needle forward. You know, not every day are we going to feel like, you know, waking up, doing all the things that we have to do as it relates to our health, our fitness, our work-life balance, everything that we have going on. We know that this is so difficult to juggle. There's so many different things that we want to accomplish in a given day. And Chris and I both have found that creating these hard, just non-negotiables in our life that, you know, we're going to show up and do these things even when, you know, life is crazy, even when life is hectic, but creating these non-negotiables so we get in that habit and that routine of showing up. And not every day is going to be perfect. And I think that that's the biggest thing that you guys are going to take away from this is as we walk through, you know, our top basically eight health habits that we utilize, it's not always perfect. And we have basically the mindset that we can pivot, we can adjust, we can make it look a little bit differently if we have to, depending on the day, depending on, you know, what the flow of that day is going to look like. But the one theme that never changes is the fact that we continue to show up each and every day. But before we begin, this episode is brought to you by Nash Nutrition. The Nash Bar is made with simple and nourishing ingredients, 20 grams of protein, and is naturally sweetened with honey and dates. And what a lot of us don't realize is that most of the so-called healthy protein bars that we find on the market are unfortunately heavily processed. You know, anytime you guys are checking out different food sources at the grocery store, especially ones that are like packaged goods, just make sure you're always checking that ingredient label. It will never lie. So this is why we love the Nash Bars. We never even have to think twice about the ingredients, and they truly are the good for you protein bar. Make sure to head to the show notes after today's episode to get yourself a box of bars to try. So on to today's episode. This is episode 98, slowly approaching that episode number 100. And this is eight health habits for high performers. And so we know that all of you guys listening to this podcast are individuals who are looking to level up your life. You're looking to, you know, achieve a high level of success in all that it is that you're doing in your life. And we really just want to help give you guys, you know, very tangible habits that you can start implementing into your life to create those hard non-negotiables around the things that you really value and want to always show up for in your life. Because I've experienced this at multiple times kind of just throughout my life in general where, you know, that compound effect is so real. And if we can just get ourselves in the habit of just showing up, like even on the days where, you know, it's not ideal, even on the days where it's not perfect, like we mentioned in the intro of this podcast, but just getting yourself in that mode of showing up no matter what. And that truly does pay off over time. We've seen this firsthand, especially in our businesses, like even on the days where we don't feel like showing up and doing, you know, certain pieces of content or showing up and doing, you know, just literally something as simple as talking on our story or just putting ourselves out there, you know, on a day where maybe we're not having, you know, the best day, for example, or the energy isn't, you know, ideal. But really overcoming that mental hurdle and just showing up anyway and doing it anyway. And that's really what we mean by these non-negotiables is not every single day are you going to wake up and feel super excited, you know, to get your steps in. You're not going to wake up super excited to, you know, do your journaling or doing your meditation, but we can trust in that compound effect and understand that these positive habits are compounding in our favor. And then vice versa, you know, some of those less optimal habits that we have in our lives, if those, you know, are very present in our lives, we know that every single day those are compounding as well. So regardless of whether they're optimal habits or less optimal habits, everything that we do in a given day, each and every day is nonetheless compounding either for us or against us.
And these are all habits that we've built over time. I would say like throughout our relationship, we've built these up slowly but surely. Now it's like we have all eight of these in every single day. But I would say for those of you who listen to this list and it may feel overwhelming, I would say add like one to two of these per week until you build a solid foundation that supports your goal, supports the lifestyle you want to live. If you want to be a high achiever, you want to be the highest version of yourself, your habits have to reflect that and also support it. So the first one is daily meditation. And this is one that I resisted for a long time. And I read this quote recently that says the work that you need to do is in the habits you're resisting, or something along the lines of like the results you want is in the work you're resisting is more what it was. But I think that this is something I resisted for a long time because I am very ADHD, if you will. So sitting still is something that is not very fun for me, but it's something that I need to do because it helps me respond to stressors in a different way. And I've given this example before, but like if you're someone who cries over spilled milk, for example, like something sets you off, that means that you're not responding to stressors in an optimal way. We cannot control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond to those things. And spilled milk is obviously a silly analogy, but the things that happen to you with work, the things that happen to you on your commute to work, the things that happen to you on a day-to-day basis are something that compounds and builds your stress levels, builds your cortisol levels, and it goes against everything we're trying to do with fat loss and weight loss, if that is your goal. For example, stress impacts your body in so many negative ways, and daily meditation is one small thing you can do on a daily basis to say, I controlled this at least somewhat. You know, we control the controllables to an extent. 3 to 5 minutes is all you need. Obviously, you can build up over time, but when we say we meditate daily, people probably think we do like 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yeah, we're sitting Indian style. We've got candles lit. It's like, it's not fancy.
No, we sit on our couch and we play a 3-minute meditation on Headspace. Aura, the Ring, also has a meditation app like woven into their fitness app and database, but we just do the daily Headspace. We pick the 3-minute one, and with the intro, it ends up being 5 minutes. We just sit there. Sometimes I'll journal through it. Like, there are some days where like sitting still sounds like the worst thing, but sometimes I'll just journal while I'm listening to it. And that 3 minutes goes such a long way. It helps you respond to things differently. Like, I can tangibly tell in the days, like we said, we're never perfect. There are some days where we skip it. If we like sleep in a little bit, we have an early call, or we have to get into our day really quickly, or on the weekends, I can really tell the days we don't meditate and the days that we do, and how we respond to even the smallest of little things. And I highly recommend that you guys weave that into your daily routine. It helps us respond to things differently. It helps us reduce our stress levels. It helps just go into our day with a clearer headspace. If you want to be a high performer, you can't be freaking out over the smallest of things. You can't be unfocused and have like brain fog. You have to really be as clear as possible so you can show up as your best self for your workday.
Yeah. And the way I think about meditation is I really think of this as like a two-part benefit. And Chris talked about the regulation of stress, which I think is just huge. Like, we can typically tell when we're having a very high stress day where the littlest thing just like completely sets us off. And this meditation really does help you just combat those stress levels so much more. And I think, you know, the twofold piece of this, like the secondary benefit is really, it just gives you that opportunity to press pause. I think that this is so important in our society today. You know, men or women, doesn't matter. I think all of us are just constantly focused, like, what's the next thing we have to do? What is the next work task that we have to get done? What is the next meal we have to make? When are we going to do our workout? You know, how are we going to fit in all of these tasks that our boss is telling us? And so we're always thinking about, like, our mind is constantly in the future of like, what are these next things? Like, what is the next thing that I have to do? And I think that meditation can be so powerful. And I tell a lot of the men that I coach this, like, it really is your opportunity to just press pause. Like, it really is like the only time in your day. Like, I really want you guys to think about that. Like, think about just a typical day for yourself. Like, when do you ever just like take a minute to like sit there in peace and like not have your mind just rolling and rolling and rolling and thinking about all the many things that you have to get done or that you need, that you want to get done. I think that all of us are in that mental state 90 to 100% of the time. And something as simple as 3 to 5 minutes of pressing pause and getting your mind elsewhere is so very powerful. Cause I even notice when we are in this 3 to 5 minute meditation, my mind is literally racing. And then I have to like intentionally like stop all of those thought processes from just like running wild. And that's what is why this is so powerful for me, because it is that moment in the day where I can really press pause and really just like let my mind rest instead of it constantly just being on just hyperdrive.
And if you're someone who's in a creative workspace, like for us, we have a lot of creativity that goes into content and goes into our businesses. This is where a lot of those like downloads, and I'm air quoting, that's where those downloads like come to me personally. Like, I get more creative when we pause. And I think that that can help a lot of people. If you're struggling to be creative, or you're struggling to like find an answer to a certain thing that you're struggling with, it's in those moments of pausing where they come to you. And also with Headspace, there is a feature where I can share, like, I think you can get 30 days free. I'll put that in the show notes. If you guys want to try it out, you get a whole month for free. We get nothing from it. Like, this is not sponsored at all, but I give it to all my clients as a way to just like try an app. Like, that app may not be for you. I also recommend Calm. Superhuman is a more expensive one, but it's very like bougie. You can go walking with it. You can journal with it. You can work out. There's like a running meditation. And I think when you invest in something, like when you pay a dollar amount for an app, you're more likely to show up and use it because you want to get your money's worth. So this is a free month for Headspace. I'll put it in the show notes after today's episode.
And number two, which really goes hand in hand with the daily meditation, is just having that morning routine. And this is where I remember back when I was working my corporate job, and where this is literally just where I realized that a morning routine is so crucial. You know, back when I was working my corporate job, I was kind of just doing what was normal, where, you know, I just kind of wake up, Like really close to the time that I have to go into work. You know, I'm stressing. I'm kind of like doing all of these things and like fumbling all these different tasks I have to get done, taking my dog out, like getting my, you know, coffee ready, getting dressed, getting ready for the day. And I just always feel like I was in that fight or flight mode in the morning where, you know, I would basically just, you know, set that alarm, you know, say, you know, an hour before I had to show up for work. But as many of you know, we just keep hitting that snooze button and hitting that snooze button. And then until we like absolutely have to get up. And I was kind of just living in that mode for so long. And I noticed every single day I was just starting that day in complete fight or flight mode. And that's when I started doing a morning routine, and it went hand in hand with my workouts because it really started with, okay, I just need to get up and get my workout in because it's not happening in the evening. I'm going weeks without working out. Like I just have to wake up before work and get this workout in. And then that's what made me ultimately create this morning routine where by me working out first thing in the morning, it also gave me time to plan, to really prepare for the day, to write down, okay, these are going to be the top focuses of what I want to try to get done this day. Because a lot of times when we just go into the day naturally, it's just like there's 30 different things we could get done. And that's where we really have to have that glass ball, rubber ball mindset of like what has to get done today, what can be pushed off to tomorrow or next week, and getting very clear on which one of those tasks are like the most immediate things that you have to get done. And so that's really kind of what sparked my whole morning routine where, you know, I started working out and waking up at that earlier time. And then it twofold helped me spend time, you know, doing the gratitude, doing the journaling, you know, doing the planning and the prepping for the day. And it's something that has stuck with me ever since. And like we said with the meditation, this is an area that's not perfect every single time. You know, this is where some mornings, you know, ideally, like in a perfect world, which is never as perfect, you know, I get my daily meditation in, I journal, I read my 5 to 10 minutes, do the gratitude, I do the whole entire thing. In reality, we don't always do all of these things. You know, sometimes I have to have that next best thing mentality, which is what I always tell my clients is like, when you can't do what's optimal, what's the next best thing you can do to still push that needle forward? And that's really where I will pick, okay, which is going to give me the best ROI, you know, for today based off of, you know, what's going on. So that's where I'll, you know, lean into, you know, focusing on planning first thing or, you know, doing the gratitude. Gratitude is typically one thing that I will never miss on. You know, even if I do have to expedite that morning routine, I would say out of all those things I mentioned, the number one thing that I'm consistently always doing, like there's even some mornings where like I'm really, you know, pinched for time and I got to get into the gym or I got to get started with, you know, say a call or like just check-ins with clients and stuff like that. Like if I'm really, really like rushed, which I obviously don't enjoy it to be rushed, but you know, sometimes, like we said, life happens and you know, it's not going to be perfect every time, but I'll always try to pinpoint that gratitude because I know that that's probably going to give me the biggest ROI out of all of those things, because I know that that's a constant reminder of what's going well or what's good. And I think we can very easily just slip into that negative mindset of what we lack, what's not going well, and all of those, just all of those negative kind of just like thoughts that are going on in our mind. And, you know, this gratitude just really helps me personally press pause and get very clear on like the really good things that are going on and happening in my life. And that always helps me start my day off on a positive note. So typically like as a last resort, like next best thing, it's always going to be that gratitude. And then ideally I'm going to kind of do all of those other things around it. And then, you know, this is another piece that we didn't really talk about, but you know, not getting on that phone, not getting on the social media and checking all the apps, checking email, checking work obligations, like before these two things happen. So we are always making sure that, you know, that daily meditation and that morning routine, even when condensed, is always happening before, you know, we're getting on that phone and checking all the apps and checking all of those notifications and everything like that.
Yeah, you have to determine your mindset before the world can determine it for you. And even like a text message or a work message, like you said, can set the entire tone for your day before you even get a chance to say like, I want to have a positive headspace for today, or I want to come into my work day with lower stress levels, higher productivity, which is what our morning routine helps us do. I've been on like the morning routine game for quite a while, I think ever since I became an entrepreneur. And I think that if you want to be a high achiever, your morning, and some entrepreneurs out there are like, morning routines are like garbage, BS, like you don't really need it. But I think that if you say that, like your stress levels are probably higher, your creativity is most likely lower, and diving into work first thing in the morning before even filling up your cup, like does not sound like a good way to start the day personally. So this is your way to like recharge yourself in the morning, and also a nighttime routine, which we'll talk about later, allows you to fill up your cup because all day long you're showing up for others. You have to make sure you're pouring from a full cup versus an empty cup. So staying off our phones really does help us to protect our boundaries and protect our energy, which is very important first thing in the morning. And we both have like that plan A, plan B mentality, like Zach said, what's the next best thing I can do? And for me, it's like, of course, an ideal world, we do our entire morning routine, which we've talked about plenty of times. I think we have to go like through the entire thing. But for me, my plan B is like, if I can't do anything, I have to do my daily greatness journal, which is where I go through my affirmations, my to-do list for the day, has a spot to list out like a time blocking schedule for the day, and then also like the gratitude and affirmations. So it really helps me, like Zach said, come from a place of gratitude, a positive headspace, recognize what's going well, and then list out what my quote glass balls are for the day, like with those rubber balls are the things that can bounce to the next day. But if I end the day with like, let's say like these top like five things that I have to get done, I like to do a top three, top five kind of thing as an Enneagram three. Like I love to check things off. So like today I put laundry, like the tiniest of things, my to-do list, feels good to check them off. But on a work day, I'm putting like the big like glass balls that have to get done. And the journals that we use, I think really help us to set the tone for our day. I use the Daily Greatness Journal. I think it's a more advanced option. There's also the Productivity Planner, which that's the one you're using right now, right, Z? Or the 5-minute journal?
Yeah. Five-minute journal.
I say like go in this order. 5-minute journal, productivity planner, daily greatness journal. As you progress through becoming a high achiever, having a morning routine, I think you can find one that you love and like stick to that forever. But I do think that going in that order, it's like beginner, intermediate, advanced in terms of journals. And I will say I'm very proud of Z. I know that on those mornings where we may be rushing, like if we hit snooze a little too long, we typically wake up at the exact same time every day. And that's a part that helps us to really set the tone for our day too. But every day is not perfect. I know we've said that a million times in this episode. But I'll be like making our morning coffee, like rushing my, I call it my little barista moment in the morning. And Z's like standing at the counter writing his gratitude. If he has like 3 minutes, he always gets it done no matter what. And he also sets it on the counter to make sure he gets it done. And I think that if you're someone who struggles with making something a habit, make it very obvious. If you put it where you're going to make your coffee every morning or you put it where your keys are, you're more likely to get it done.
And I just think that these two habits are like what really help you do something for you before the day starts. Like I know for a fact, like the times I'm most stressed are the times where I'm just like giving myself, and I'm never taking any of that time for me. And it's so easy to do this, you know, especially for parents out there, you know, who are busy with kids, which, you know, I can barely even speak to because I can't really speak to because I haven't experienced that myself yet. And I know that that's just a whole nother layer of just obligation that's put on top of your life. But nonetheless, you know, especially if you're someone who like you just give so much to your work or you give so much to your boss or so much to your colleagues, like that is phenomenal. But we also have to take time for us. Like we have to, you got to focus on you first so you can show up as your best self for your family, for your colleagues, for your work, for your loved ones. And so these two habits really allow you to do that. So I know sometimes it's not, you know, may necessarily not feel like the most motivated to show up and do these things, but just know that it's your opportunity to do something for you, you know, before that day gets hectic, gets crazy. You're going to be able to handle stress better and you're going to be more resilient in the face of adversity doing these things.
Yeah, and putting yourself at the top of your priority list is not selfish because then you show up for everyone else in your life as your highest self. And I actually just did a post this morning on time management. I talked about how everyone does not have the same 24 hours in a day. Like we can say that all we want, but I truly don't believe it because our 24 hours as like we don't have kids, we have a dog, obviously, we're entrepreneurs, we work from home. Obviously, you work in the office. My 24 hours looks different than yours. I have a lot of clients who are moms who commute an hour to work, an hour home, and like their workout schedule, their nutrition, like looks extremely different than mine because our 24 hours look different. Our obligations are different. Our priorities are different, but we can still manage our time and manage our energy with these high performing habits to make the most of our personal 24 hours. And on that note, the next habit is to kickstart your nutrition. And this is something that's, I feel like, always changing in our routine, figuring out what works best for us. Personally, I wanted to optimize my hormones this year and always, but not eating on an empty stomach is my way to do that. So in the morning, like I said, when we're doing our morning routine, I will be making our coffee. We use like an AeroPress, so it's not just like a coffee machine where you press start. You have to manually make it. So while I'm doing that, I'll have a Nash bar, which is the perfect testament to, you know, our show sponsor, like we talked about earlier. But they recently changed the recipe and I'm able to eat them now that they are completely dairy free. And I'll have one every morning. Like I literally jump out of bed, like itching to have one of these. The cinnamon maple pecan flavor pairs really, really well with coffee. So that's something I'll eat in the morning. It's 20 grams of protein. It really kickstarts my metabolism. It kickstarts my day. And it allows me to drink my coffee early in the morning. Like I never thought, I used to be an intermittent fasting girl. Never thought I'd be like itching to eat something at 5 a.m. in the morning. So we make sure we eat first thing in the morning. We kickstart our nutrition. Personally, I work from home, so I don't have to do a lot of prep work for my nutrition for the rest of the day. I obviously talk a lot about bulk prepping. I'll do that on Sunday today. and on Wednesday. So my protein sources for lunch and dinner are like pretty much already made. But something I do in the morning to kickstart my nutrition is not only eat a Nash bar along with my coffee, but I'll also pre-log my food for the day. So that's something that I have as part of my morning routine. When I like get on my walking pad in the morning, I'll just copy and paste the day before. So I know like, here's my to-do list for nutrition for the day. That helps me to focus on other areas. I don't have to second guess like my portion sizes or what I'm going to have or like rush between meetings. I know this is what I'm going to stick to, at least like Monday through Friday. I don't have to do this on the weekends as much, but that helps me to kickstart my nutrition and then put my energy towards other areas.
Yeah. And how I'll kickstart my nutrition is really with like supplementation, especially with my Athletic Greens. Athletic Greens also has been getting so much hate lately online. I've been seeing so many people like be like, this is so overpriced for a bunch of greens. And it's like, well, you probably don't necessarily understand, you know, all the other ingredients in here. So if you've seen anything like that, like I think something that people discount is the fact that like, it's not just greens. Like it has the greens component to it, but then there's also probiotics, prebiotics, every single pretty much vitamin and mineral that you would need to supplement with. So it's really jam packed. I don't understand that hype. I just thought I'd throw that in there. I've been hearing that a lot.
I think that something people lose sight of, like I recently invested in like a higher price greens, but it was a caffeinated greens and also had probiotics. So I'm like, okay, currently I'm buying a pre-workout, I'm buying a probiotic and I'm buying greens. All that together is probably over $100, even though this greens is a little bit higher than the ones I was buying previously. It's three supplements in one. And for you, it's the same thing. Like you're not buying a multivitamin, probiotic and greens. It's all in one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's just where, you know, once again, read the ingredients, because if you understand what's actually in it, you'll have a bigger picture understanding of everything that's inside of it, not just what the front of the label says or what, you know, most people think it contains essentially. But I really like to use that time to just get ahead of the supplementation, especially the greens, because like this is something that's so easy to just lose sight of when the day gets busy, the day gets crazy. So I always just, you know, wake up and I don't even like fill like a huge water bottle of it. I'll literally like put like 1/4 of water in the bottle and like literally just take it like a shot and just like slam it really quick and be done with it. Get all my, you know, vitamins and minerals, my probiotic, prebiotic, all the good stuff in those greens first thing in the morning. And then same thing with like prepping my meals. Like when I go into the gym, I know that if I don't bring something, I'm kind of going to just be screwed from a nutrition standpoint. Like I'd have to like maybe like order food or something like that. I honestly really don't even know what I would do. So I have to make like my oats for the morning. And sometimes I'll do it the night before, the day before, or like the week prior. But sometimes, you know, like I said, it's not always perfect. And, you know, this is what I tell my clients is like, it's so important to be proactive versus reactive when prepping the nutrition, because, you know, a lot of times we're like, oh damn, I didn't have time, you know, to make that meal, but you did have time. You just allowed yourself to be more reactive where, you know, you didn't prep anything, you didn't have anything planned or prepared. And then you're in that moment where, you know, you need a lunch or you need a mid-morning breakfast or snack. And it's like, well, I don't have anything. So that's something that I'll use that time for as well. You know, I'll literally like in the moment, sometimes first thing in the morning, again, not ideal, but it gets the job done. I'll sometimes literally have to throw my oats together for the day that I'm going into the gym. And that's being proactive versus reactive first thing in the morning, even when, you know, it's not like I necessarily feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. But I know that that's going to help me be stay consistent with my nutrition. I know that that's going to help me stay consistent with my fitness goals. And it's just that domino effect of habits. And I think that that's the biggest thing too, that you guys can take away from this podcast, is just each one of these things have that domino effect. It's not just what's happening to you in the short term, or it's not just what is this habit doing for me right now in the most immediate future, but what is it compounding me toward? What is it doing for me over time? And I think that that's what's so important to view. Just like, that's such a good perspective to have when viewing these habits, because if we see that long-term outcome, that is what will help motivate us to show up and keep that discipline in the moment for these habits. And so number four is just daily movement. And I think that this is a great non-negotiable where, you know, it doesn't matter if you have 3 days, 4 days, 5 days of workouts per week, you know, find that split that works for you. I think this is such a good time to talk about the split. Literally does not matter. Like so many people get so caught up in like, I have to do 3 workouts, 4 workouts, 5 workouts per week. I'm telling you, like, based off of how Chris and I know how to program, we can distribute the total volume and the total workload for a week and condense it into 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. It literally does not matter. So that's just another tip, guys. Like if you're out there trying to juggle like, oh my God, I can't work out, or I'm not going to get results unless I can dedicate 5 workouts, you know, to this specific plan, then I might as well just not do anything. Like that's where, you know, I highly encourage you to pick a frequency that you can stick with and stick with it. You know, do what is reasonable for you and your lifestyle. But I know for Christina and I, you know, we like to commit to our 4 workout sessions per week. I personally love a 4-day upper lower split to distribute my total workouts for the day. And so this just helps me. I know it was it resembles a lot of what I did as an athlete with the upper lower days, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And I know that this also gives us flexibility to push the week up or push the week back. Say we're traveling, you know, and we're, you know, traveling on a Friday. We can push the week up to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, have that flexibility to take Friday off and travel, or vice versa. If we're coming off of a trip and we have to push the week back, you know, we can always do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leaving that Monday open. So I personally believe that like a 3-4 day split is perfect. You know, I know sometimes on my 5-day splits I'll do for clients, like the 5th day will basically just be like a cardio day, or like a cardio ab focus day. And so, you know, I personally believe like that 3-4 day split is perfect because it gives you the maximum amount of flexibility to rearrange that week as needed. And you have at the end of the day, 7 days to choose from. So you just pick which days are going to make the most sense for you, your lifestyle and your schedule. And so I know that that's a non-negotiable part just of our day. And I know that this is something where, you know, in the past I always craved structure and routine where I could get my workout in, you know, first thing in the morning. But nowadays my life just doesn't look like that. And so nowadays, you know, sometimes my workout time is, you know, early in the morning at 6 a.m. Sometimes it's, you know, 1 p.m. Sometimes it's, you know, 10 a.m., 9 a.m. So, you know, it does fluctuate, but the one thing that never changes is those 4 workouts. I'm always showing up and getting those 4 workouts in per week. Even, you know, sometimes on Friday, you know, I'll be in the gym training some of my in-person clients, and, you know, I'll be in there for 6-7 hours straight. And last thing I want to do is literally a posterior chain focused leg day. But I just have that discipline switch that flips in my brain where I don't even negotiate with myself. I don't even think about it. Even if I do think about it for a split second, I just overcome it and say, I'm getting it done. I'm going to start. And that's the biggest thing, is just getting yourself to begin. Once you begin, you're going to finish it. You're going to feel damn good after the fact. It's literally about flipping that switch when you're in that kind of negotiation state with your mindset of, do I get this workout in? Do I not? You just got to flip that switch and be like, this is something I've committed to. This is a non-negotiable in my life. I'm going to feel better after it. And then you just do it.
Yeah, and our other non-negotiable for movement is our step goal. And we both have walking pads at our desks, which are standing desks. So what we'll do is we'll have a daily step goal. And this is something that's changed over time. Mine and Zach's are different, but we make it realistic for our daily routine. Like, I work from home fully. And if you really think about it, we work very sedentary jobs. Like, if I didn't try to hit a higher step goal, I would have like 0 steps per day, because we sit at our computer, we do Zoom calls, we do client check-ins. And I know a lot of you listening may have office jobs where you have to sit all day. But if you do work from home, I really recommend getting a walking pad. It is an investment, but it's an investment in your health. And if you want to be a high achiever, walking at your standing desk gives you more energy. It helps us focus more. When we sit, our energy levels drop. Being sedentary is one of the worst things we can do for our health. So obviously in our daily routine, we go on a walk with Ghost in the morning after we drink our coffee, or while we're drinking it, we will walk after lunch. And obviously having a dog helps us do this, but you can also do this even if you work in an office or if you work from home. Just set those routines for yourself to walk after your meals, like at breakfast, lunch, after your workday. It helps you cut off your workday too. If you have a hard time flipping the switch from your workday to your home day, especially if you work from home, going on a walk helps so much. Like, walking is one of the most underrated. If you guys listen to this, you know we are like huge advocates for focusing on your NEAT, increasing your step goal, and not staying sedentary. But it's something that's so underrated for not only your mental health, but also your physical health. Obviously, it helps with your weight loss, fat loss goals, if that is your goal. But also on top of walking, like, our steps range from like 10 to 15K, to be honest with you. I like getting like closer to 12 to 15K. It just makes me feel more energetic. It makes me feel I don't have to spend as much time in the gym just like running or, you know, doing cardio. But that's also really important to tap into that zone 2 cardio to get your heart rate up on a weekly basis too. So we typically, like, before we start a lift, we'll run slash walk. We'll do like intervals and nothing crazy. Like, I literally run like 5 to 6 miles per hour. Like, it's nothing crazy fast, but I'm also training for a 10K. So that helps me get my steps in a lot easier. So I'll do my 4-day split and then run 3 days, stacking one of those run days with an upper body day. That's pretty easy. So I'm not expending too much energy, but we will do like 10 minutes of cardio, sometimes 15, depending on how much we were sitting for work that day. And every day is a little bit different, but a non-negotiable is like, we are aiming for this high step goal. We're aiming for 4 workouts a week. That helps us have energy. It helps us feel accomplished and also feel like our best selves and show up for work in the best way too. So the next thing is simplifying our meals. This is the 5th habit for high performers. And like we talked about before, like, kickstarting our nutrition obviously helps us set the tone for our morning, but also your food is your fuel. 80% goal foods is our minimum range that we try to aim for. I feel my best on 90% goal foods personally, like energetically, body composition, digestion wise, because processed foods do impact your energy. I typically see this on client check-ins. If we have like a goal food, soul food question, I know Zach and I both have similar check-in questions where we ask like, what is your diet made up of this week? And typically if there's a week of like a lot of celebrations, like this week, for example, I know there's a lot of country concerts. There's a lot of like weddings and celebrations. And if your soul food is making up 50% of your diet and only 50% is coming from goal food, those goal foods give you the essential like vitamins and nutrients your body needs to have energy and also have optimal digestion. So if your body is trying to process these processed foods, alcohol, and these foods that have no nutrients, like your energy is going to reflect that. So if you want to be a high performer, I know personally my nutrition plays a huge role in my energy and how I show up for work. So after a weekend where I have like a lot of sugar or we have alcohol, like I don't feel like a high performer on Monday morning. It takes like a day or two to kind of work out of my system. But like loading your body with goal foods, like adding greens, eating colorful foods, eating fruit as snacks, like it may sound so silly, but your nutrition really does cause you to have high energy or low energy. High performers obviously have high energy levels. So the way that we sustain our energy levels throughout the day is we simplify our meals. We make sure each meal has a protein, a complex carb to keep us full. Fruits and veggies, also healthy fats are kind of woven into our meals because we eat meats that have fat in them. So like chicken thigh, we will have 93.7 ground beef for dinner. So right now our fats are baked into our protein sources, but you can also add like olive oil and stuff like that. So healthy fat is really good for you to sustain your energy too. But how we simplify our nutrition so we can focus our energy on work, focus our energy on showing up for you guys, is that we eat the same meals for probably like 2 to 4 weeks. We create a menu, we grocery shop accordingly, and then I bulk prep our chicken like on Sunday or Monday for the first half of the week. And then on Wednesday, I'll bulk prep our chicken again for the second half of the week. And then we just stick to go-to meals and really focus on eating simple meals because it makes us feel our best. So just don't overcomplicate it, like, because then that's going to cause you to have to choose something that's convenient, like ordering fast food or ordering Uber Eats. But you can also still choose 1% better options when you do eat out or order Uber Eats. Like I have a fast food guide to give my clients on how to choose something that's 1% better, that has protein, that's easy to log. So just because you are high performer, you have a busy schedule, it doesn't mean you have to choose something that's going to make you feel like crap. And obviously we're not demonizing like soul food or processed foods. You guys know we are big advocates for the 80-20 lifestyle. You can have it in moderation, but if you are what you do most of the time, if most of your food is made up of food that kind of sucks the energy out of you, how are you going to feel? Not like a high performer. But the very last thing I think that helps us when it comes to nutrition, we high performers, is like at the end of the day, when we're trying to turn off work mode and have that quality time with each other, like whether you're in a relationship or you have a roommate or you're making food with your kids, I think cooking dinner together and staying off your phone and just like doing something with your hands helps you to like slow down, ease into like nighttime routine. And it helps us just have that quality time of cooking dinner together and like shutting off the outside world. And I think that's something that also helps us with work-life balance and stress levels and also just like balancing relationships with work too.
Yeah. And I love that you touched on the impact that, you know, these meals and just nutrition in general can have on the way that you feel. I think that's the number one thing that we hear from clients when we start working with them is like, holy shit, like I feel so much better. And like my energy is just like completely changed, like tenfold, just by what it is I'm consuming. And I think, you know, if you're someone out there, because I've even been this person, you know, that's like, oh, I could never eat that way. For one, that's a limiting mindset. But also what a lot of us don't understand is like our gut microbiome is smart. Like our body is going to adapt and get used to what we are feeding it. So if you're someone who's eating mainly a processed diet, your preference of your gut microbiome is going to be those processed foods. So of course, you know, some of those healthier foods don't sound good or sound appealing comparatively to what you've now basically gotten your body used to. Because I remember this was the case even for me as I was like, you know, eating more of a processed diet post football and then, you know, some of the time eating healthy. And I think that that's honestly a state, unfortunately, a lot of people live in where, you know, processed food, you know, eating out, things like that tend to take up most of the diet. And then some of the time, you know, we're posting that one good meal we made on Instagram and showing that we're eating healthy. So what we underestimate is how that can flip and how that can switch when you do start, you know, eating healthier. There is that initial resistance, but when you can overcome that hurdle, like now, you know, Chris and I even told her this the other day where, you know, I used to like crave certain foods like over the weekends or like wanting to get this certain like, you know, food out versus like a home cooked meal. We have gotten our ourselves almost like so ingrained to these routines around the foods that like really leave us feeling our best. That's honestly kind of what we've done over the years, is like we've basically adjusted and kind of like threw out this ingredient, put in this ingredient, and we've played around with literally different protein, carb, fat sources that, you know, feel really good when we eat them. And I've honestly gotten to the point, I feel like now in this routine that we have with our meals, this is hands down by far the absolute best I have ever felt. And it's because over literally the last several years, we've made those small adjustments and we've been able to critique and find the foods that we not only enjoy, but that also leave us feeling our best. And honestly, like, you know, I feel so good now internally, like physically with my, you know, gut health, with digestion, with, you know, just my body composition. Like I feel so good that I actually like, I crave what we eat now more than, you know, some of those cravings I used to have for like those more processed foods. So I think that that's just a very underrated aspect of nutrition habits, where like it's just unfortunate that people kind of have that limiting belief of like, oh, I could never eat that way, because you could, but you're just not allowing your body to do so or get used to, you know, what it could be like or what it could feel like. And I think that's what we miss out on a lot when it comes to health and fitness, is like we really don't know how good it could be.
Yeah, and you really don't know how good you're supposed to feel until you allow yourself to do it. And one thing I wanted to add really quick before we dive into the next habit is that a lot of people think they have to restrict, like on their health and fitness journey, they're like, I have to eat less. But in reality, if you eat more of the good things, like you eat more protein, you have more lean muscle mass, your metabolism is higher, it helps you show up differently. And then also, one thing we've done with our go-to meals, and this is what caused me to remember this, was we'll create a meal and we'll build upon it. Like, for lunch, we'll have like chicken thigh and brown rice, quinoa, like kind of mix, and add greens. We'll add greens to it. But it started with chicken and rice. Then we're like, let's add some spring mix. This meal looks pretty, you know, bland. We need some greens. So we added spring mix to it. And then from there, I'm like, okay, we have tomatoes for our dinner. Let me add that to my lunch. And then we'll have like baby carrots in the fridge to snack on. I'll add that to my lunch. So then my meal went from like just a neutral looking meal. Your meal should be very colorful. And we'll just constantly add more vegetables to it. Same with our dinner. We'll constantly add, like it started with ground beef, zucchini and squash. And then we're like, let's add mushrooms. Let's add some tomatoes to it. So it doesn't add much more to our grocery list. And we're just adding more micronutrients to each meal. And that makes our digestion feel better, which then makes our energy feel better and more sustainable throughout the day too.
And habit number six, which is our nighttime routine. And this is something that's just really helped us kind of stay on track, especially with our sleep schedule. I think that that's the biggest thing that this nighttime routine has helped us do, is get to bed at a consistent time every day. Because I firsthand have experienced just the power in my own life, you know, with the same wake up time as well as the same bedtime. And that just really helps your circadian rhythm and getting yourself into that flow and getting your body just used to those regular like wake times, sleep times. And it just helps so much better from like a stress and energy standpoint. But typically how this looks is, you know, once like 7:30 PM rolls around, this is typically when we do like our last dog walk with Ghost. And then this typically kind of puts us on that trajectory to, you know, go to bed around, you know, some people out there are going to be like, what the hell, but we go to bed between like that 8:30 p.m. 9 p.m. window. Typically, like I would say most days it's like 9 p.m. at the, like once we get everything done and kind of just get ready for bed. But you know, something that we do really try to do is stay off of our phone. Like I know for me, I like to just plug it in. Like we're staring at our phone all day, we're going through messages, there's like constant, like we're constantly on our technology and especially on our phones like 24/7 with the scope of work that we do as coaches and as trainers. And so like that is a hard non-negotiable, I know for me, where like, and my clients listening will know this, like they will probably not hear from me if they text me like after like 9 p.m. Because I'm plugging that phone in and I'm putting it away from my bed face down and I am not getting on that thing. And that has helped me so much just like wind down and, you know, really just like ease into my sleep and have like a pretty quick latency, which is just like the amount of time it takes you to fall asleep. And I think like one of the biggest things, and, you know, we'll talk about this in our next habit with like the quality and quantity of sleep, but, you know, using our fitness trackers has been just so eye-opening and motivating to have that consistent bedtime. And that's really where it opened my eyes to just the impact that the same, you know, bedtime and wake up time had on my stress levels, on my recovery, and my body's just recoverability in general. So that's really kind of how our nighttime routine looks. Again, it doesn't have to be anything super like crazy or extensive. It's literally just a matter of us kind of like winding down, you know, taking Ghost out, kind of getting our mind off of work, you know, just ate dinner, you know, go on that walk, come back, kind of get ready for bed, put the phone down, put technology down, you know, we'll throw on the TV, something mindless, you know, to kind of just wind down. But, you know, that's typically what the nighttime routine will look like for us.
And something I hear quite often is that people are staying up late watching shows that they're very locked in on. And I think one non-negotiable we've created in order to perform at a high level and get our true, like, we like to get 8 hours of sleep. So like 9 to 5 is an ideal sweet spot for us. That's why we try and get in bed at an earlier time, like between 8 and 9. So if you're watching a show that you're we just started Suits. I know a lot of people are watching that right now. And I've seen it in my client check-ins of like what's hindering sleep quantity and quality. And it's like staying up watching a show you're really locked in on. So we have a non-negotiable at like 9 o'clock. We turn on our mindless show, most likely The Office or New Girl or something along those lines. So that helps us to like have that quicker latency that Zach talked about. The number 7, like the high habits or the health habits for high performers, is 7 to 8 hours of sleep, because your sleep quantity and quality really does impact your ability to perform the next day. I wake up first thing in the morning, and the moment I'm allowing myself to get on my phone, I look at our Aura data. And I was just laughing a second ago because we got 10 hours of sleep last night. Like on a Saturday night, we had some sleep debt to take care of this week because we had a concert midweek. And that following day where we were up later, our sleep schedule was off. I really noticed it the following
day. Yeah, it's crazy how like the next couple days, just because we've just become so in tune with this stuff, that like from that night at that concert, staying up like way later than we normally stay up. And then like the next day you didn't really feel it, or at least I didn't really feel it. And then it was like the next 2 days, like that sleep debt just like catches up with you. And I felt like smoked.
Yeah, same here. And I definitely noticed my caffeine intake was higher Thursday and Friday after that midweek concert. We don't typically do stuff during the week, but you know, we gotta have balance, right? So I definitely noticed it in my performance on Thursday and Friday. And we had some sleep debt, like I said, to catch up on. So we slept 10 hours last night, and I was looking at my Aura to show you guys the data on how important sleep is. Like I can tangibly tell, like if I didn't look at my Aura to see my recovery the following day after a night of poor sleep, I would be able to tell like my recovery is lower, my focus is lower, I have a hard time concentrating, all those things. Like it really does make such a huge difference. Your sleep is probably one of the main things. We didn't go in order of importance here. We went in order of like when we wake up to when we go to sleep, what the important health habits are to perform at a high level. And if you're an entrepreneur, you're someone who has to show up for work with high energy, like sleep is the number one thing you should be focusing on. 7 hours minimum is what I like to see for my clients and for myself. And we use obviously our Aura to track our consistent like wake up, bedtimes, and we'll get a notification. It's kind of funny, like at the concert we went to on Wednesday, it's like bedtime is approaching. Like it reminds you your bedtime is coming up, because over time, like it starts to recognize like your circadian rhythm, when your ideal sweet spot is to fall asleep, to wake up, when you need to get REM sleep. And that really like restorative sleep happens like around, I think like right before midnight. So if you're someone who goes to bed at like 1-2 in the morning, like you're missing out on so much quality sleep. Obviously it depends on like if you're a nurse and you work night shift, this obviously does not apply. Your circadian rhythm looks very different from ours. But your REM sleep, your deep sleep, your timing of your sleep plays such a huge role in your performance the following day. So if you're someone who's trying to perform at a high level, like I would start at going to bed earlier, waking up earlier, and having that non-negotiable and boundary. Like it's really hard to set that boundary with yourself. Like I have to get off my phone at a certain time. I have to be in bed at a certain time. I have to turn off my show at a certain time. I know for a lot of you who like most of your day goes towards work, if you work late hours, you work overtime, I know there's like a little bit of rebellion that happens at night. And this is actually like, there's a name for this where you specifically rebel against your bedtime because you want more time for yourself. But this time getting sleep is time for yourself. And I know it may feel like you're taking time out of your day and you're getting less time in your 24 hours, but you're giving yourself more time and energy the following day by getting to bed at a specific time and having that hard cutoff and nighttime routine.
And I noticed for myself, like the two key indicators from the Aura ring that really impact the way that I move and feel the next day and perform the next day is really that deep sleep and that REM sleep. And I would say like those are the two biggest ones that are impacted by like stress or by like substances like alcohol, for example. And within that REM sleep and deep sleep, that's where you're getting your maximum amount of physical and mental, like not just physical, like, but also mental recovery. It's literally your brain's ability to recover from the stimulation and everything, like literally the stressors of everything, the stressors from you working out, the stressors from just like day-to-day headaches, the stressors from work, like your body has to recover from that shit. And that's what happens in that REM sleep and in that deep sleep. And so I noticed for a fact, like on days that those key indicators like are impacted, I don't handle stresses better or as well. I don't handle stress as well. I'm also just a little bit more irritable when those take a hit. So this is very real. And I think that you really notice it when you track these stats in your sleep. And then our eighth habit is taking CBD at night. And this is something that greatly impacts the quality of sleep. And this is, I've had multiple clients where, you know, I've helped them find a good CBD that makes sense for them and their lifestyle. Cause there's two different kinds, you know, you have a broad spectrum and a full spectrum. And we actually want to get our CBD specialist that we get our CBD through on the podcast here shortly in one of the next couple episodes that we end up doing. But they really have got us onto, you know, how much of an impact CBD can make over time. Like you do notice it in the moment too. Like I know it helps me with like latency. Like I fall asleep easier when I do take CBD. My sleep throughout the night is more consistent. I don't have as many disruptions, which we can also track through our Oura Ring. So like we just don't have as many times that you wake up or are disturbed during that night of sleep. So it can make just such a massive impact on your quantity and quality of sleep. And I always prescribe it to my clients who are struggling with quality sleep and with quantity of sleep, because it can really improve those two areas specifically. And I would say that's what I notice the most is like, especially in the clients I talk to after they take it, is it definitely helps, you know, fall asleep easier. And you just don't have as many of those disruptions throughout the night. Like obviously we might get up and go to the bathroom here and there, but it really does help basically just mitigate some of those small little disturbances that you would otherwise have, you know, not taking the CBD. So we promote the hell out of the CBD because it's made such an impact in our life. And, you know, you can take the full spectrum, which has THC in it, but it's less than 0.3%. So it's literally like non-existent. But just so you know, if for any reason you want to avoid that, the broad spectrum has absolutely 0% THC in it. So that's just something good to keep in mind as you are navigating like which one to choose. But if you are interested, you know, you guys can definitely check out, we get ours from High Street CBD here in Columbus, Ohio in Short North. They also have an online store. We've had clients order from their online store. They can ship to basically, you know, anywhere throughout the country. So definitely check them out. If you guys are in need of CBD, they by far have like the highest quality CBD I've ever seen. Like I know at a lot of, just like those like smoke shops and shit, like they'll technically sell CBD at like some of those like little stop shops. But this store here in Columbus is like, that is like their specialty. Like that's all that they sell is CBD. They have all different kinds. So definitely check them out. So shout out to Paul and Hobie. They've literally helped us out over the years. I literally just had a client go to them the other day and has been noticing awesome changes. So in their sleep quality and quantity. So yeah.
Yeah, and we've been taking it consistently for at least 3 years, like since 2020, and I've been online fully for 3 years, and I think that it really does like help me. Like this is a true testament to like being a high performer, like your sleep quality and quantity impacts everything. And CBD is something we've consistently taken every single night for 3 years straight. So if you wonder how we go to bed so early, how we get such quality sleep, like 7 to 8 hours, like this is the secret. And we're going to, like Zach said, have them on the podcast, but I'll put their link to their website in the show notes. And the one that we take is so incredible. I look forward to taking it every single night. It's like a coffee flavor. And it may sound silly to take right before bed, but we tangibly notice like we cannot go on a trip without it. If we run out, like we each have our own bottle. If we run out, we see in our sleep so much disturbance, so much less quality and quantity of sleep. So we never let ourselves run out. So it's an extremely recommended product from us. And I also recommend taking, if you're a woman, like focusing on hormonal health. Magnesium is also a great supplement to take right before bed. I've noticed since taking that, I have it right next to me. So like I said, if you're struggling to make something a habit, make it obvious. Right next to my phone cord where I plug my phone in every night, I have my magnesium supplement. I have my CBD. I take it at the same time. Since I started pairing those together, I sleep like a rock. Like I don't wake up one time in the middle of the night anymore, which is incredible. And also on the note of getting quality sleep, finish your water way before you go to bed, like at least an hour before. If I'm ever behind on water, it impacts my sleep because I wake up throughout the night and it's hard to fall back asleep. So finish your water way before bed. Make sure your supplements support your sleep, and that will all help you to show up as the highest version of yourself. Your habits ultimately determine your day. And if you want to have high energy, high focus, if you want to be a proactive versus reactive human, you have to set this foundation of habits that support your goals on a consistent basis, and also recognize it's not always going to be perfect. But we are what we do most of the time. And if you implement these 8 habits into your week, most of the time, you are going to show up as the best version of yourself, which then helps your fitness goals become more achievable, helps your career goals become more achievable, and you're going to feel like your best self. So we'll put all of our recommendations in the show notes for Headspace, for High Street CBD, They also have the Nash Bar link down below too. Make sure you set the timer to get them on Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time so you can get your hands on them. And we hope you guys have an awesome week.
Peace out, guys.